Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.
Oh, the car from Carvana's here. Well, will you look at that? It's exactly what I ordered, like, precisely. It would be crazy if there were any catches. But there aren't, right?
Right, because that's how car buying should be. With Carvana, you get the car you want. Choose delivery or pickup, and a week to love it or return it.
Buy your car today with
Carvana.
Delivery or pickup fees may apply. Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Welcome to the podcast, episode 564. It's the weekend podcast. I'm joined by friends. I say friends, colleagues. I say colleagues, people I vaguely know. Steve and Pete. You're all right, lads.
Hello.
Hello.
Now, I think we've got a new feature come up here. Maybe we should, I've got a couple of emails. And Steve, it's largely centered around you and your your trading tactics. And it's a very good suggestion here. Because as you know, how is H&L, Hagen London Oil, doing? You sold exactly at the bottom, which is excellent, I thought. Excellent timing. You made it, took a chunky loss, and then it tripled in price, which I think was a phenomenal timing, you know. As soon as you were out, woof, up through the sky. So I got the email. This is from, by the way, there's a load of us that are sat on the beach in Porta Palenza, Mallorca, yeah? And I can't say the next word, but basically laughing their sides at you three. We all trade a bit, so our new tactic is... Anyway, this is a new tactic. So, hey, Justine, little jokey face there. Just listen to the podcast the weekend. Love it. Why don't you ask Steve to, instead of investing in shares, short them? Hey, Steve!
That's what you should be doing.
You're basically flipping the chart upside down.
Yeah.
If you, you know, if you do short in H&L when you bought, you'd be laughing your head off. And then you just basically bought them back up at the bottom there, rather than sold. He said he's always buys at the top and sells at the bottom. He's a genius. He would make a fortune being short on anything he reaches. Yep. Keep up the good work. I've decided to short anything Steve buys, and I'm well in profit. So thank him. The bees are on me. Many thanks. Keep up the good work, Ian. So there's a load of guys here in Mallorca.
What's the point as well? If you follow that, short everything he buys, and then when he sells, buy.
Yeah, that's what he's saying.
Every time. No, he's just talking about shorting.
Did you not listen to the email there? I just read that out, Pete. That's what he said.
Yeah.
Okay. But yeah, there we are.
Thanks for reiterating that, Pete.
Yeah. Yeah, do it again. Oh, by the way, what you can also do is short when he buys and buys when he sells. Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, so that's. And we also had something else saying. Another email. I forget. Listen, but please do, you know, get involved. Email me, please. It can be justin@boxmarkets.co.uk. So if you email me there, and you know, a nice little feature. We should do this because we often get quite a lot of interaction, you know, on Twitter and email for the weekend podcast. And so we should, you know, introduce it, I suppose, encourage it a little bit, because we very rarely read anything out, which is very poor. Sorry, do you know what? Going back to, like, working in a radio station, they always encourage that. Even a tweet, you know, one tweet. Oh, get it on the air, get it on the air. You know, regardless of quality. Oh, we've had a bit of reaction, you know, some of the smaller stations, really. All right, we're going to go on. And just, you know, punt any old rubbish out there, isn't there? Like, have you heard any local station there? Right, text us, what's your favourite sauce? Tomato or brown? Oh, look, we've had some reaction. Get it on there. You know, give him a call. What's he going to say?
What, though, all, he's going to say tomorrow.
All radio stations do that now. I was listening to Radio 1 and that's all they do. In fact, they don't do any content. It's just reading out people's tweets. And you know, I'm just listening good. I don't give a crap what anyone else thinks, to be honest.
I know. Yeah, I know.
And to be fair, when you do read stuff out, I don't listen. So
yeah, and but I've got to say, I've worked at several radio stations and I've seen a lot of stuff. What's called content, be read out on air, which I wouldn't regard as content. But we've got some, funny listeners, and they are, it's on target. It's not just nonsense. It's really relevant to what we're talking about. So I think we'll encourage this.
Can we do like a what's your favourite condiment or something?
What is your favourite condiment, Steve?
Brown sauce.
Is that a condiment? Is brown sauce a condiment?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Sort of. Anyway, listen, talking about, you did say the C word then, Steve, just earlier, right? C-R-A-P. Talking about that, right? just reminded me for some reason, I don't know why. I took the boy, I was probably giving away what's happening here, but I took the boys, I hate public swim bars, I hate them. But I do it every week, I take the boys swimming, Fred goes for a lesson, then we go an hour in the pool, then Fred goes for a lesson, and I'm with Monty. And we went to our local pool and got to the reception desk, bit of a queue there. I said, hi there, one for swimming, he's three, he's six, he's got a lesson. I said, oh yeah, the pool's closed. She sort of whispered it, the pool's closed, right, go for an hour. Uh-oh. Now, I hate 15 minutes. Why are they closing up straight away? A nightmare, the scenario I dread the most. And I said, I said, why is that? I said, oh, they're cleaning it. I said, right, what, half past three in the afternoon? It's a really hot time to clean a pool, isn't it? I said, someone pooed in it. And she said, yes. I said, I can't do this. I can call the missus. Say, listen, someone's pooed in the pool. I can't swim in that. I'm not. And they said, do you know what? This is my, I said to the lady, I said, I'm almost sweating here. I can't go in there. I already know there's fecal matter in there anyway. Let's be honest. I don't need to see the evidence of a big turd floating next to my face. And so it'll be safe. I said, how do they clean it? Well, do they catch it? I said, what, a net? He said, yes. They catch it with a net. Yay! And then they clean it with the Hoover and the thing. I thought, there's no way that's safe, is it?
Yeah, pull the net.
Do you know what? Literally, I had a cold sweat when she told me. I thought, shall I do it? I bought the ticket and I went in there. And do you know what? It just smelled nicer than normal. I think it's probably, it's like one of those things, It's probably cleaner directly after an incident than any other time, because they really go aboard cleaning, because everyone's watching through the windows and the view gallery. Whereas like in the evenings and mornings, they don't really care because no one's watching, are they? So, go on.
I was going to say, thing is, though, if you imagine that in your toilet, imagine going to the toilet.
That's what
and
I
then
thought.
Just fishing it out and then getting a little Hoover, rubbing the bottom. Would you then jump in your toilet?
Steve, how big is your toilet? How big do you think I am? I hard work. I understand the analogy there, but I wouldn't, you don't have to push it there to jumping in the toilet because it's impossible. Anyway, let's move on back to stocks and shares. By the way, this week, I bagged a knit couple. I bagged it. Yeah. Are you in Coppel, anyone? Are you? Steve?
No.
Coppel? No?
Good job. What?
Are you in Canadian Overseas Petroleum?
No.
Okay, well, I bagged this week, yeah? I bagged it, Bagged it.
Well done.
I put my cash in, I bagged it, Just bagged it in me ice, sir. Yeah! You know what I'm saying? Boom! Yeah! Coppel! But I've got to thank the Mad Stalk and Bell, actually. They do everything. Someone gives you a heads up. And I'm almost trying to find the first person who finds a good stock, And I think, where did that come from? Because it goes around, you see it, people are talking on Twitter or Vox, whatever. And then you think, well, who's the first person to discover the stock, Because, but you realise it's a sort of amalgamation of that and other people and gaining traction. But by the way, I still believe, there's a lot of mileage in Coppel, but I did sell half. I was up 100% and I sold half. So I'm playing with the house's money. But I do believe, they've got a high impact well going on with ExxonMobil as their partner. Now, ExxonMobil, biggest oil company in the world, publicly listed. And so why are they bothering with this 20 million market cap company? And you've got to think something's going on here, So there's good news there and they will be seeing some action towards the end of this year. So I think any pullback there is worth doing. You know what I'm saying?
Yes.
What else is going to say? Any thoughts on the week, Steve? Peter, what do you think?
Well, obviously, we've been following EasyJet quite a lot. Mm. Looking at that, because that's part of our experiment, isn't it?
Mm. Yeah. So for people, you probably heard this, but if you are a new listener, switch off. EasyJet, yeah, is our first trade in our 1,000 to 100,000 experiment there in 50 trades or less, achieving 10% or more. And so on Friday at the start, really opened strongly, you know, and I've got to say, we are recording this almost before markets close on a Friday, because some of us got busy weekend lives, so we can't set, you know, get a time the weekend. Mm. In fact, I don't know, have we? We haven't really, have we?
No.
But it started off very strongly. It hit 11.28. Now, our target's about £11.11. That's all we need to clear 10%. Pretty much run about that level. In fact, at £11.09, I was 10.39% up. So we got the target, and it pulled back. And when we're recording this now, it's back below that 10% target. And like Steve did send a text saying, you know, we are officially 10% up now. When do we sell? And I'm thinking there's more legs to this. There's been some higher lows. I did have my doubts on this chart. There's some higher lows. RSI is building. MACD is heading towards zero, which is and towards positive, which is quite good. The only thing that worries me, and if you listen to Nicola Duke on the Friday podcast, she's, you know, optimistic about it, but she did say next week is the anniversary of the big sell-off. And I remember this last year. I was in a tent, I think. It was peeing down with rain, and the stock markets, like the heavens had fallen in. And the stock markets have fallen in. And we're talking about, you know, we're getting used to a really volatile time. And they're dropping by 4% at one point. I think the FTSE did, you know, 1, 4, 5%. And it was a really scary time. And the thing is, it's a week, it's a year's anniversary of that. And markets are very sentimental. And people pay a lot of time to these, you know, fluctuations and these historic sort of variations. So I'm just thinking, Steve, what's your opinion here in EasyJet? What are you thinking?
Well, I'm not sure, because it obviously hit 10% on Friday morning. So at what point do we put in the stop loss to kind of get out? Is it when it hits 11, 12%, 13%? Well, and then do we just keep rising it, or do we?
Yeah.
Rising it.
I'm going to rise it. Look at me rising it. Yeah, because I assume, right, that 10.28 is resistance there. You can draw a line down. In fact, if I remember, I put the chart on the site there. But you'll see a resistance at 11.28, sorry, a channel coming downwards. And if it breaks that, I think it's going to go definitely higher, start flying. And I think then we should put a stop loss in, a solid stop loss at 11, you know, 11.10 or something like that. And hopefully we'll ride it up. Because, of course, if we achieve 10% of each trade, it'll take 50 trades or 49 trades to get to over 100,000 from 1,000. But if we get more than 10%, it's less trades. So we really want to get more than 10%, you know? Really. Yes.
Is there any point in putting a sell order, say, at 11.5 or something like that, so that it would actually sell when it reaches that point? Like if it spikes up on a particular day, it might get up, you know, and then sell. At a decent sort of margin for
us. Right, listen, hang on a sec. You're talking to Steve here, right? And me.
Oh, yeah.
Do you remember Steve bought and sold this stock about four times?
I've sorted my sells and stops and limits and all that. I understand them all now.
Sound like you're in charge of them, Steve. I've sorted my sells and pops and pops.
I've sorted it all out.
Yeah, so, okay, Steve. So if you wanted to put, you know, an order there, a sell order at a higher price than it is now, what would he use?
I'd use a sell limit.
You call up Harry and Larry, Harry Hargreaves, Larry Lansdowne, on their boat next to Philip Green in Greece. And say, all right, Philip, all right, Larry, you're all Larry. And what would you do? What would you put there, Steve?
Sell upper limit.
Sell upper limit? I've never heard of that. Is that that's a new one Harry and Larry's got?
Yeah.
Harry and Larry call it an upper limit to sell.
Do they?
Wow. Yeah. Same words, different order.
So if you put a stop in, right? Yes. So you want to sell a stop order? You want to put in new? Because if you put a limit order, it'll sell it, won't it?
No. Their upper limit is when it reaches the level set by you. So you say EasyJet, if the price reaches 11.5 quid.
Sell, please.
Yeah, because if you look at the chart, there's like it hit 11 when it first rebounded from that big sell-off a while back. It hit 11.70. You know, it went up to that level, like the first rebound, which is like almost an aggressive reaction, and then it's come back down. It's building slowly in a channel, and so you could say there's a bit of resistance there at 11.70.
To clarify, the mistake that Steve made was when he was putting a stop loss in, he put it in as an upper limit to sell, and because then it was below where the price was, that's why it sold. Does that make sense? It's a very simple system. There's a buy limit, an upper limit to sell, or a stop loss.
No, do you know what? I was just too confident with my buying and selling, and I just didn't think that's what happened.
Okay.
So what, Steve, the novice trainer, was very confident. I was so confident. I loved it. Oh, this is easy. Let's just track that in. Oh, I sold. I was a little bit overconfident there, but I've been investing for like 6 months, but I'm a little bit confident.
Whoops.
Yeah.
But is that a tactic, do you think, to put
sell it by accident?
Yeah, yeah.
I was talking to Justin.
Oh, okay. I don't know, do I? Who knows? It's a stock market, you know, it could tank next week. If it goes down, right, if you look at that lower trend, it could go down to 10.50 again. And, you know, maybe around that 10.40, 10.45. But, I think, you know, I don't know. You know, we've looked at...
I don't know.
That's the only thing we know is that we don't really know, you know?
That's the best thing you've ever said on this podcast.
Yeah, and so all we can do is make sure now we never lose it. Make sure we never lose any money on this. I'm seeing some higher lows. I'm confident, you know, the relative strength is going the right direction. I mean, to a certain extent, we're not going to lose money here. It'd be nice to achieve more than 10%. So let's not, you know, take our profits too early. Let's play the game, yeah? Let's spin the wheel, let it go, see how far it goes. You know, cabin crew, to manual.
Yes. I saw your tweet.
Is that what they say? Or is it cabin? It's always to manual, isn't it?
Doors to manual.
Doors to manual. Cabin crew doors to manual. And when is it to automation then? When are they automated? I don't understand. What else do they do with it?
Is that the locking procedure or something? And it locks so that they can't then unlock it? I don't know.
They say doors to manual, don't they? But what's the other thing? They don't say doors to automatic, do they? And I've never heard them say that.
No. So brace.
But obviously, what I'm saying is, if they put in doors to manual, what was it before it went to manual?
Probably when the air pressure gets to a certain point, and they probably automatically lock, and you can't unlock them for safety reasons.
Oh, look at Steve. Coming from left field, talking about some easy cabin. Have you ever been out with a lady from cabin crew, Steve?
No.
No.
How did your date go recently?
What date?
You had a date, didn't you?
No.
Yes, you did, Steve. I can tell straight away you're lying. You're lying.
I didn't have a date. When did I tell you I had a date?
You had a date with someone from, what's it called? That rubber. What's it called? Grinder.
Rubber. No, I didn't.
Was it a grinder?
Rubber.
Yeah, whatever it is.
That'd be a good name for a date.
It would. I'd rubber.
Rubber.
You put it, you wouldn't put the left or right, just rub it with your finger, the picture. I'd rubber. And then if you rub it down three times, and they rub you back three times.
There's an idea there.
Okay, perfect.
It's not perfect, is it? Perfect. Perfect. That is a perfect app. It's called rubber. You just rubber. You just do that pitch on Dragon's Den. You are. So what you do is you come in, you just rubber like that. I rubber. See, all the dragons say, perfect. Do you know what Dragon's Den is ridiculous, isn't it?
Yes.
Because where the flaw is this, they will only invest in a company that's doing very well, you know, that's making a profit, that's got contacts with some good companies, you know, that essentially don't need them anyway because they're doing well enough. And then they give away, you know, 30% of their equity. They say, why are you in here? You're doing very well and you've given away a lot of your equity. So basically, you're a business that's doing well. I mean, rubbish businesses, they don't want, you know, I'm out. Yeah. No, that's rubbish, I'm out. Good business, I'm in. I mean, I just think it's really flawed, you know, isn't it? Do you think?
Yes, absolutely. Well, it's had its day, hasn't it? I think it was good when it started in the first couple of series, but...
Deborah Meaden, gosh, she wiggles that turkey neck around. He's going, she really goes through me. Oh, stop her.
That's quite an impression you've got.
It is, isn't it? Oh, I'm sorry. And even the name, Deborah Meaden. She doesn't sound attractive, does she? Oh, so in school I should date Deborah Meaden. Oh, she'd sound like a dog. Yes, she was. She was like a turkey. Deborah Meaden is never going to be an attractive person, is she? You know, good job she's got a good business head on her, because that head is all it's full of. The head of a turkey.
Just as well, you're so good looking.
You see the wobble on her chin. Listen, yeah, I'm better than her. Even if I dressed as a lady, I'd pull more fellas than she would. Go on.
Yeah, you'd pull everything on rubber.
Deborah Meaden. All right, is there anything else?
I do watch it, though,
because it just gets me angry. You know, you get someone like Peter Jones, the guy who's at 7'9", he refuses to invest in anyone who doesn't wear a tie and suit. What are you talking about? You know, so if you have Steve Jobs walking in here in his roll neck black top, you wouldn't invest in his product, would you? You simpleton. You know? I've never seen Steve Jobs or Tim Cook or whatever or Richard Branson ever wear a tie. You know, you should come in here wearing a tie. What's that going to do with it? You know, I've got a product here that's going to blow the wool apart, and you kid, I've got a bit of cloth around my neck. It doesn't matter, does it, really?
It's a weird concept, a tie, when you think about it, isn't it?
Yeah, just a little bit of cloth hanging down from your neck, pointing to your nether region. That's what it's doing. Look down there. Look at that down there. Look at the business.
The arrow.
Look at the business down there. Yeah, look at my package. Yeah, well, I was going to say something, actually, about this. What was I going to say? Oh, I don't know.
I don't know. Do your Deborah Meaden impression again. No. So EasyJet, just you don't think it's worth putting an upper limit to sell, kind of?
Well, we've blown it now. We should sell at 11.28, shouldn't we? Or we should have put a stop loss in 11. We didn't check that. I don't know. I want to see 20% on this, you know?
Okay.
Don't you?
Well, that's okay. So let's put an order in at
20%.
Let's look at the facts here, right? Look at the chart where we dropped off of Brexit. It was 15.42. Steve, do the maths. It dropped down.
No, Steve, do the maths.
Yeah. It dropped down to 9.88, a little bit less than that, right?
Yeah.
I don't know the percentage drop in that, but surely their revenue and profits are not going to be affected by that much. That was completely oversold. They can just essentially, like I said, you know, if we do have Brexit, we don't strike up a trade deal. They've got offices in France and Spain. They just say, oh, this is now our HQ in Spain. No problem. Don't have to move any staff around. They'll just say, well, designate that as the HQ. We're still unaffected by Britain. And I think, you know, I don't see the issue with doing that. Why will they be affected? I don't understand.
They can move staff around quite cheaply anyway.
Yeah, and cheap flights they got. Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, yeah.
And they've hedged against the oil. I don't see why everyone's so scared about what's happening here. I just think they've got an excellent brand. Who doesn't know EasyJet? Do they? Like all those yellow ones, you know? Did I get any other email? Oh, yeah, sorry. Listen, this is what I wanted to read out. So
you see the yellow ones then?
Well, the orange, aren't they, Steve?
You said yellow.
Oh, did they?
Yeah.
Sorry.
Who doesn't know the yellow ones?
A really stand-up brand, like yellow and pink brand, you know. So, you know, I said do a podcast as a feature called One for Your Watchlist, you know, suggested by people who listen to the podcast. Like I said, people, you know, are genuinely quite smart, and I've got some excellent research, and I've looked at stocks and put them on my watchlist generally because of that. Because people, now I've got one here from Geordie Wigana. You know, we mentioned Geordie last week, and he's gone, you know, what's your name? This is the form he's filled in. Geordie Wigana. What's the name and ticker symbol? EasyJet. What does the company do? Hires cars and planes. And planes? Do they hire cars and planes? I don't know. How many shares does the company have in issue? Lots. And Jocelyn has them. He calls me Jocelyn. What's the current price of market cap? Less than 100 million of the company. It's not less than 100 million, is it? What revenue and profit loss does the company generate? He's taking his time to fill this form in. Geordie Wigana, tip good profits. How much cash or debt does the company have? None. N-O-N. None. List three reasons why you think this company has potential. Number one, Geordie Wigana tip. Number two, Jocelyn has shares. Number three, I think a Big Gibbon and Black Dog has shares. So he's Geordie Wigana. Worth following on Twitter, I think, Geordie Wigana. He's got the face of Warren Buffett, if not the intelligence. Is there any other thoughts, ideas, anything at all?
Nothing from me.
Okay.
Steve?
No. I sold my EVR this week.
You what?
I sold my EVR.
EVRH, Steve, not EVR. EVR is Evraz or something like that. It's another company.
Yeah, that one.
Your virtual reality stuff. Why do you sell that?
Because they hit a high and they're going to come back. So I've sold, I'll rebuy back in.
Let's have a look. There we are, guys. Time to sit. Bye.
This is test the theory. Let's test the theory.
You are a little bit right there, Steve, to be honest. What did you buy him? I bought him at 19.99 pence. You know,
yeah, 99 pence I sold
them. Not 99 pence, Steve. It's point, is, you know, one below... and 0.99 it was, below 1 pence. And you sold them at what?
Hang on, let me just bring it by.
Made a tidy £34 profit.
All right. Who's laughing now, fellas,
yeah, so
on the
I bought
beach?
Them at 0.98, and I sold them at 1.5.
Well, that's not nice. Bad, Steve. That's not
very
bad.
Good, Steve.
50% profit.
That
yeah,
is.
Very nice.
That's not me scoffed at. Scoff. I just scoff at that. Hang on, where are they at the moment? Let me, EVRH. So you can sell them at the moment. The bid is 1.45. So Steve, look at Steve, laughing yeah. all the way to the bank with the £34 profit. Yeah.
Watch him rocket through 2p now.
I bought a stock this week. What did I buy? I've been watching it for a while. They came on the podcast. Tony, or Riley there. Providence Resources. I bought that.
Oh, yeah. Did
I buy anything else?
Me too.
Did you buy that, Steve?
Yeah.
Oh, God. What research have you done in this, Steve? Tell us all about it.
It's going to take me too long to explain, to be honest.
What do they do, Steve?
We don't mind, Steve. We've got plenty of time. Go for it.
I don't know.
You don't know?
You don't know. Any news coming up?
It might be, yeah. But a secret.
So who are the main players there? Well, let's go through the cash. So
they got a lot of that. They got quite a bit of that.
Steve, I would like you to fill in a form, please, on one of your watch list as to what you think. It'd be nice. Steve's one to watch list. Please fill in the form, PVR, just off the top of your head, why
you've invested.
Because we would like to know, because I would like that.
Yeah. Assets, what assets have they got, Steve?
Well, PVRs do quite well in America, so I thought, why not?
So, Steve, do you know what they do at all, though?
No.
You don't know anything what they do?
No.
What sector are they in?
The brown.
The brown sector.
That's where you'll be.
Right. Yeah. All right. Okay, yeah. Pete,
well,
I was going to say, I bought that. Did you buy any, Pete?
No.
Okay. Yeah, so there are...
What did you buy at? 10.7 or something, wasn't it?
What did you buy at, Steve?
Oh, hang on. 10.75,
I say. Well, just to let you know, they are in the... They've got a big bunch of assets there, you know? I mean, I think contingent resources are 358 million barrels of oil just off an island there. Possible, I think, 4.7 million, no, 470,000 million. So it was 4.7 billion, sorry. Barrels of oil. Yeah, and so they're worth looking at. This was a stock, right, that was valued at like £7 in 2013. They pretty much got the same assets they had there, and in fact, they now got, you know, a bit further down the line.
£7?
Yeah, £7 a share, yeah.
They're now
11 pence, yeah, yeah. And the assets haven't changed. That was at the height of the oil price, where it was $100 a barrel, of course, so they're very leveraged to that oil price. But even so, we're at $50 a barrel, and now they've done a fundraising, and they had problems with debt and all that, because obviously the oil price went down and all that, and they were leveraged against that. But then they've now just done a raising. They've raised, I think, $70 million. $20 million of that pretty much is going to pay off debt. So the balance sheet is clean. They've got these assets. They're looking for farming partners. They don't need that. They've got enough cash to sort of do some of this work themselves, though. But they're looking for farming partners of bigger companies. They've got a lot of assets there. A lot of assets. Just check out the... So I just think companies like this that have been there, up there, huge, and they've got a clean balance sheet and cash and good assets, you know? Mm. And it's worth looking at.
And what's your thoughts on the longer-term price of oil?
Good, so, yeah, good, yeah.
It's
yeah.
going up, Pete. It's
yeah,
going up.
Good.
Oh, yeah, sorry, Steve's the oil expert, isn't he? Sorry, Steve.
Good.
It's going up.
Going up, right.
It's going up, Pete. It's going up.
Going up. It's going up.
You go, I'm Bloomberg. What do you, Steve, let's go to Steve. What's your opinion about it? Going up, yeah. why do you say that? Just, going up. I don't know. I don't know how to explain myself, do I? It's going up, yeah.
What are you basing that on? Well, it's been down.
It's going up.
Going up.
All the way up and all the way down. That's the way it goes. All the way up and all the way down. That's all the way it goes. If it's gone down, it's come up. And Yeah, but no, I think if you look, I understand we are sort of trying to wean ourselves off oil and gas, but a lot of, you know, it's going to take a long time. In fact, Uber this week. Nothing to do that. So they've got a self-drive car, but I don't know if it's gas.
That will still require
it's still
fuel.
Petrol. I thought it was electric for a second. I thought it's not. Yeah, but listen, we've had a lot of infrastructure and capex and all that investment. I think some people say $400 billion around the world from the oil majors, and so a couple of years on the line, demand is still growing slowly, supply is still cutting off. We know this, so I think these assets will grow in value hopefully. And so there we are. But even at the moment, I think their market cap what $60 million, and they've got $358 million contingent. I'll still on. I put a little chart up. I found a little chart there, and it's about resources, reserves. And it's very handy indeed. Where is it? Total petroleum in place. And so when you see companies doing, they're revealing their reserves and stuff, it forms two areas. And so there's sub-commercial, which is 1C, 2C, 3C, and these are contingent resources. And then you've got 1P, 2P, 3P. These are proved, probable, and possible. They're commercial. So, when they get 1P and 2P and all that, it's better than 2C. But, it shows you the level. So you have to prove up reserves. So you do exploration, then you discover it and see how much you think is down there by certain tests, by seismic data and all that stuff. Then you start drilling and and all that stuff. But it's basically proving them up to the point where they are commercial. And you've got probable or proven resources. So it goes from possible to probable to proven, But even so, this company, if you look at it, the assets they've got, the reserves they've got there, it's quite impressive. And they're only $50 million market cap. So it's worth, I just put it on your watches, PVR Provident Resources. You know what I'm saying?
The other one in the same sector is old Prospects, PXOG, which I invested in the other week, and it's starting to rise steadily. Good story there, and obviously in the next couple of months I'm expecting some good news.
Different end, because this is sub 2 million market cap here. Sub 4 million this is. And obviously the asset is smaller, but if it gets in a way, of course, there's still multiples of the market cap here to be had, still potential. And I just saw that placing after the surprise placing as a potential, because now they've got more cash. And they're still, so it started rising on the fact they're going to do the drilling in this last quarter. And then all of a sudden they did the placing, it dropped. So they got more cash. Okay, there's been a bit more dilution. And yet they're still doing that drilling, which looks very good. I thought, well, let's have a bit of this then, because obviously they're not going to want to raise any more now, are they? Anyway, lads, I think that's enough. We banged on enough, haven't we? Oh, hang on, I've got a call coming through there. I've got a call coming through on the hotline. I think where is that? What's the name of the new Chancellor? I forgot his name. I haven't got his number on my phone, but there we are. Right, lads.
That was good.
Yeah. What's his name? Richard Hammond, isn't it?
Philip.
No, it's Richard, isn't it?
Oh, it's Richard Hammond, yes.
That's why he's there. They've got Richard Hammond in as Chancellor. Well, that's desperation, isn't it? That's what they should have done. They've got Richard Hammond in as Chancellor and old Jeremy Clarkson there as Prime Minister. Thanks, lads. Nice to speak to you. Have a nice weekend. Appreciate us.
Au revoir.
Bye-bye.
The Vox Markets Podcast with Justin Waite.
The people in this podcast may hold positions in the stocks they talk about. Don't buy anything based solely on tip or recommendation you hear. Please do your own research.
Hiring isn't just about finding someone willing to take the job. You need the right person with the right background who can move your business forward. If you want candidates who truly match what you're looking for, trust Indeed Sponsored Jobs. With Indeed Sponsored Jobs, your post stands out to quality candidates who actually fit the role. According to Indeed data, 90% are more likely to be hired and trusted by 1.6 million companies. Spend more time interviewing candidates who check all your boxes. Less stress, less time, more results. Now with Indeed Sponsored Jobs. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to help your job get the premium status it deserves at Indeed.com/podcast13. Just go to Indeed.com/podcast13 right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/podcast13. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Do it the right way with Indeed.